Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sans Pants Radio, what's the square root of 361?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Movie Maintenance. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Handsome Tom.
And this week, we're looking at Mortal Kombat.
Choose your destiny. Flawless victory. Choose your destiny. Flawless victory.
Fatality.
Hi-yo!
Did you do the Get sounds? Over here.
Did you do the sounds for the game? Because that was really accurate.
I did not.
I mean, the movie incorporated the sounds from the games a lot.
As dialogue. Because they went, nah, fuck it. Don't let the actors talk. We're going to use the cool video game sounds.
Who was the character that, just didn't speak?
Scorpion.
They just used his thing from the game.
They literally used the, get over here.
They used the music from the game too, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Which I was pretty happy with.
It was actually a Mortal Kombat song. If you listen to the words, it just lists the names. Yeah, you're like,
Sub-Zero.
I love that.
Raiden.
Amazing. I mean, that's going to be my new ringtone.
The special effects, not great.
Because what did we figure out? Reptile looks so good.
No. Yeah, he did. What did we figure out? Was it 1995? So 95.
Yep.
But what year was Terminator 2?
91.
No, it wasn't, was it?
Yep.
Oh, what happened here?
So they had 4 years of T-1000. T-1000?
And they dished up this.
I'm going to go budget, maybe?
Okay, so...
they blew the budget on filming China and Thailand.
Set the landscape of this film, at the time, because now Mortal Kombat, the reason why we probably bring this episode up is because it's a bit of a joke now.
Yeah.
But back then, Was this a like a high budget film?
I don't know. It's hard to gauge.
Yeah.
Being four at the time it came out.
That's it. I mean, there was just less high budget films. So in the spectrum of, you know, your real blockbusters to your standard releases.
Was it a blockbuster?
I don't think it was a blockbuster, but it was sort of on the fringe of it, if that makes sense.
Like it wasn't like a straight to DVD piece of shit.
Oh, no way. Like... No. I'm pretty sure I think I saw it at the movies, actually.
Can I say, if it was made now, it would be like a tentpole Assassin's Creed film. Like,
yeah.
They would cast like good cast, high budget. Zack Snyder would probably direct it.
It would have its own universe incoming. Like
the MKCU?
Yeah.
Or is that the My Kitchen Rules cinematic universe?
Yeah, that already exists. Okay.
Okay, so you love it.
I genuinely love it. Like I was saying this to you guys, but it's easily hidden under, like the shitness of it is hidden under a cloud of nostalgia so that every time I see those horrible effects or the crap dialogue or just no character, like, things happen that you just like, well, that's not earned at all. I still love it. I'm smiling. I love it. For me, like as a kid on the like school holidays, you go to the movie store, you get seven movies for $7.
Yep.
Me and my brothers, this was our standard one that we would get every time.
So, it's your Loch Ness.
It's my Loch Ness.
I would do that with the video store and get Loch Ness every time.
Yeah.
Wow.
What did you get, Tom?
I think I got The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
You sounded so disappointed.
Well, because, I thought you were going to pick a better film than me, but you didn't, because Loch Ness is still
out of all of our, I have a soft spot. Nightmare Before Christmas has better special effects than Mortal Kombat, and it's a stop motion animated film.
I'm not going to argue.
It looks more realistic, and I know they're all fake.
I know which one I'm going to enjoy watching more, though.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
For some reason, I really thought you were going to say My Girl then, and I don't know why.
Hey,
I just thought that was
My Girl, Yeah, we borrowed that a lot.
Oh, that was the first movie I remember crying to, just bawling my eyes out.
I mean, I won't admit to that, but...
Can I say, I did, and then got picked on by my friends. Oh. We're meant to be friends.
Nah, we would have picked on you. We're going to pick on you now, actually, you soft crybaby baby.
Excuse me, Macaulay Culkin died. That's heartbreaking,
babe. Oh, I'll tell you which one I picked up from Blockbuster a million times. The Sandlot Kids. Do you guys see that one?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We did the other one that was always a big one on our like rotations of getting was Jungle to Jungle.
Oh,
the Tim
Allen
one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Small Soldiers was another one.
Small Soldiers is also high up there. But I reckon, Night Before Christmas. We didn't do Mortal Kombat probably because it's got a high rating. And weirdly, like my brother and I would often be sent down to the video store. And for some reason, maybe I don't know about your video stores, but our video store clerk was like clearly... super intense into their job, so wouldn't let you borrow a movie for your age.
I think it's actually PG because we're watching it. There was one drop of blood I think I saw for the whole movie.
Yeah, he gets punched in the face and there's a bit of blood.
But it might have been old school M.
Looks very much like they made it so that they could give it to a mass audience.
There is a heap of blood when Scorpion dies. He bleeds fire and paint.
Actually, but it doesn't even look like blood. It's just paint.
No, it's like lava. And then it becomes worms.
I'm going to say
a reptile. I get reptile and scorpion.
Why? Just because they look alike.
How can you? Okay, I don't like the film, but I have enough respect for the games to get my reptiles, my Sub Zeros, and my scorpions as separate people. Sean,
same costume. It's a different color.
It's not the same costume. There. Oh my god, I hate you so much.
From a distance, it's kind of like Bane.
No.
Yeah. So,
fuck you both. Well, no, just you.
Not him. He didn't do anything.
Well, no. Fuck you. Fuck you, particular Damo.
I don't know.
Because
I didn't. I won't leave him out now.
No. I'm going to speak to you because this movie is bullshit.
It's amazing.
It's so bad.
It's so good.
It is so. It is everything that is wrong with video game movies.
Everything about it is wonderful.
Ooh.
I'd watched
the Holly Valance Mortal Kombat ripoff Dead or Alive, I want to call, over this film.
Oh, mate, don't say that.
I will. I just did.
I just watched it for the first time, and it has a bit of a lull in the middle. But outside of
does that lull go from about the 3 minute mark of the first?
Let Sean finish. Sean, did you have a wonderful time?
I had a pretty wonderful time. Yeah. I had a pretty big grin on my face.
Your favorite character, Kano, would be.
No, I liked. my favorite character is not in the film. Baraka.
The guy with the sword arms?
I used to go him all the time because he just kind of vaguely reminded me of Wolverine.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to go you.
He's a sort of ripoff.
I always picked Sub-Zero.
What platform was this played on? Was it Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo.
So we didn't have a Super
Sega?
Nintendo.
Sega, yeah, I'm pretty sure
I don't think
Sega.
It was Super Nintendo. I think it was Sega because then it went to PlayStation.
Yes.
My mum wasn't big on the video games, and I recall the first thing we got was the Nintendo 64. But I remember, like, so... any time I played Mortal Kombat in my life was when I would go to like friends' houses and play it. Yeah, so that's just like it's a nostalgic thing. It's like a childhood memory. I would go over to like my mate Pat's place, for instance, walk through the door, and I could hear like just the sounds of violence and murder.
Fatality.
And him and his brothers beating each other up while they're playing it. And then, yeah, it's an awesome game.
I played it a lot with my brother. He was better at it than I was.
Mm.
I'm not good at video games.
Mm. Well, honestly, with those fighting ones, I don't know how much finesse there is. I was the same thing. I'd go. My parents wouldn't let us play it. We had a 64 as well.
Yeah.
So I'd go over to mate's place, who was phenomenally better at it than I was, and I'd be looking at him thinking, "Is there actually a certain sequence of buttons I should be hitting?
Smash the shit out of the buttons.
It's button mash. It's button mash. Yeah.
See, do you know what's weird though, right? I played more Tekken, I played that more than Mortal Kombat. Younger, and then so what we would do is again, my cousins used to have a PlayStation. We couldn't play like those kind of games at our house. So we go to their place and we'd always play Tekken. Sometimes Mortal Kombat, but it was mostly Tekken just because Mortal Kombat was seen as like the, we played more. Don't talk about playing Mortal Kombat, boys.
Yeah.
Tekken had Eddie Gordo and Mortal Kombat does not. So
Tekken was great. I think I also played more Tekken. For some reason, I think I had it on my computer or something. Mm.
Tekken 3, the best Tekken.
Tekken 3 is a good Tekken.
Oh, yeah. I love a good Tekken. what the fuck is a Tekken? What are the point? What's a Mortal Kombat, with a hard K?
Gotta hit that K. Gotta hit that K.
Why is a K harder than a C?
Because otherwise it'd be Mortal Sombat. Does that mean you don't... What's that? Oh, this is the... I'm here for the Mortal Kombat. Oh no, this is the Mortal Sombat. What do you do? we just kind of knit.
Yeah.
You
want the next island?
It's Rhys Darby. Yeah. You want the next island? That's over there. They do the combat. Good luck. You look real strong.
Sorry, Damo.
Is he in your Mortal Kombat film?
Rhys Darby. Yeah. I'm regretting immediately that he's not. I mean, maybe we can fit him in. I don't know.
Do you know decisions with casting? Because I can. That's my jam.
Well, let's get to that at the end. But
okay.
I mean. Just be thinking Rhys Darby, and anytime you want to slot him in, you just say the word.
I want to say Goro.
I mean, I've already sold.
What katana? Can I just one more thing on the film?
Yeah, she's garbage in the film.
The reason it doesn't work for me as a film is that it's not that it's not well made. Like, you know, there are things, special effects in Loch Ness aren't amazing, but there's something good about it in terms of the story that it's telling. The issue that Mortal Kombat has is, who's the protagonist of Mortal Kombat, the film? Who's the protagonist of the game? There is no protagonist in the game because the player is the protagonist in the game.
I do agree. I agree.
So who? Tell me, in that film, is it Liu Kang?
It's technically Liu Kang, but by a margin, like a very small margin, is he?
Yeah.
He's got like 10% more storyline.
But it's not much considering.
No. I'd say screen time rather than storyline.
Screen time. Okay,
yeah, I was about to say, I didn't even understand what he's doing at Monk's Temple for a little bit.
No.
And then really bad Christopher Lambert shows up. Lambert's a god.
Good. No, he's not.
He's a bit
Lambert
cheeky.
Looks cross-eyed. He's budget Gandalf and he's fine.
He looks cross-eyed. Every time he's just like, we're going to fight. He's over there. Where are you looking, Christopher Lambert? Anyway. Sorry, Damon. I'm shitting all over your childhood franchise. Like, but in my defense, you brought this on yourself by saying you do an episode on it.
Like I said, I genuinely love it. It's all those horrible things are covered under blanket of nostalgia. So there's nothing you can say that won't, like, the worse you think it is, the more happy I get, because I'm like, yeah, but it's still the best. You. It's the best.
No, there's something nice about really loving a film that other people hate.
Yeah, and even just
that's
like
what I get with Rogue One just, and you and Gabe.
Yeah, but that's Rogue One's on like a different spectrum than Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Like, no, it is.
I think Mortal Kombat,
because a lot of people liked
it's
Rogue
not
One.
Great. That's the thing. Like, the movies that are genuinely shit, but you would still enjoy them anyway. Like, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think what mine is, but
I must have one.
I've just come out with some confessions about films that I've liked, and you've tailed me for them, Sean. So I'm going to spend half this pitch listening and half of it just thinking about myself, which is pretty standard most episodes we
do. So we're on point. We're ready to go. Good. All right. So now, like you said, there wasn't really a clear protagonist. So for my one, I wanted to have that. I wanted to have a very clear protagonist. In fact, I wanted that person to just be a regular person in this world. It's a bit of an origin story because I didn't really want them to be a Mortal Kombat character. Because the idea I really was wanting to go with, like, oh, let's have it so, like, we, the player, have come into this world.
I'm on board already, Damo.
Cool.
I am the protagonist.
Yes. And then we're also saying that for the first half hour, you don't actually see a lot of fights. So
for a movie based on the game of fighting, maybe not fighting,
admittedly,
minutes.
Like, I mean, they're throwing out some amazing dialogue. So of course you have room for
fun. There's a moment where Johnny Cage falls into off a boat with like all of his suitcases, which is the best.
That is generally the greatest moment.
I can't figure his character out. There's the bit where he pays what's his name to carry his luggage, and then he just throws it into the water, and then I'm like, oh, here we go, we're going to get a fight. And then he doesn't do anything.
He's
like,
pretty placid about it.
It's like, lucky I didn't let him park my car. And it's like, they just move on.
And it's so good. Johnny Cage is the endemic of the whole problem of the film in that when he should be like reacting more to the scenario around him, being a movie star taken to a death island,
right, yeah,
he's okay. And then in scenarios where like, so there's that bit where he fights Scorpion. He's fighting a guy with a claw that comes out of his hand. He's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Get scared of a skull.
on
the ground.
Oh, a skull's touching me.
Skull's touching me. I'm terrified. Oh, Scorpion's head is actually a skull. Less scared.
Yeah, I'll chop that up.
He has no reaction to like any of the magic or anything that's happening. None of them do. It's weird.
Lou. He'd be the only one who'd be okay with magic considering he comes from that kind of
He kind of grew up with it. Like he's grown up to be the chosen one sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where Johnny literally didn't know about it 2 days ago and he's pretty on board.
Yep.
He's sort of making passable moves at Sonya out of nowhere and then all of a sudden she's on board with that. Amazing.
Oh, that was always going to happen though because she's...
To me,
she's
as a kid, I mean, I thought that's how romance worked. You said a few cheesy lines, you were gold.
How did that work for you back then, mate?
Look,
is that why your friends... You know, so you're crying a lot. Your friends are picking on you, getting rejected by girls.
Look, it took a while before I got my first girlfriend, I won't lie. Don't take dating tips from Johnny Cage, okay? That's the takeaway. If we've learned anything today. So no, but anyway, I wanted to focus more on the fights. In my mind, here's how I thought of it. I wanted to be like a musical. I'd listened to your one on La La Land while I was writing this. So I'm like...
I want Mortal Kombat to be a musical.
No, so I wish it was. Basically, the way I thought of it, I'm like, where there would be a song, we have a fight.
Yes.
So they sort of take the place.
That is amazing.
Yeah, right. Cool.
That's how you make a Mortal Kombat film.
And basically it keeps the movie sort of moving forward, having enough fight scenes while not being, you know, just his plot to service a fight or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So we start on black. We have it for a beat before we hear the game's digital intro with the word fight coming across the image. The Mortal Kombat logo enters and there's some foreboding music. We pull back slowly and see the logo is attached to the top of an arcade version of the game. No one's playing it. It's just sort of on the waiting screen and it's in the corner of some forgotten arcade. On the thing, we've got the loading screen. We sort of see a few of the characters go through moves. We see Johnny Cage. We see Sonya Blade, Liu Kang.
How great is a name like Sonya Blade?
Right. That's her God-given name. Like,
yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Blade, what will you call your daughter? We're going to call her Razor. We're going to go with Sonya.
Yeah. I wish my parents would call me Damage or something like that.
Hey, that's the best autocorrect I've ever had in my life. Thank you very much.
You rechristened me, Thomas.
Yeah. Damage, Rob.
So we pull out and the store they're in is actually a bookstore / a pizza place / a gaming arcade. And it's owned by this guy, Angelo De Bono, who's just this hopeless small business owner who wanted to like open lots of different businesses. But rather than open lots, he just sort of crammed them all together. And predictably, they're all failing.
Go for a pizza shop that's a bookshop
and an arcade store. Yeah,
it's more like comic book shop though, in like sci-fi novels, I imagine. Like, it's not like you're gonna go
in. No,
like,
no, it's just a bookshop.
Do you need back copies of Pride and Prejudice? I'll also get a large pepperoni.
That's exactly what it is.
Really? Oh, yes. Yes.
Entering the screen, we see Brie. She's the Frankenstein store's only employee, and she sort of comes in sweeping into Frank, like literally sweeping a broom. She's not coming in with this big grand entrance. Bree's sort of like bordering 30. She looks like the kind of person who would own a lot of cats. She doesn't, but she definitely looks like the kind of person who would. There's some like loud sound effects, and the game continues on the screen, and we see the Thunder God Raiden appear on the screen. But he doesn't do any fancy fighting moves like the other guys. He just sort of stands in the center of the screen while this digital lightning sort of flashes behind him. Except he doesn't just stand there. His eyes very clearly follow Brie as she sweeps her way across the room.
Oh.
After a moment, he gives his little trademark half smile, part smirk, and blips off the screen. The movement draws Brie's eyes and she looks towards it and sees only the dark 8-bit lightning and rain and all the rest. Confused, she moves close to the game and sort of stares deep into the screen trying to figure out, well, what's gone wrong. As she stares, we sort of see from her point of view, as the 8-bit rain starts to look more detailed, real even, the sound of thunder emanating from the game likewise loses its synthesized quality and gets a more believable rumble to it, gaining in volume and bass. Brie moves closer still and we see strands of her hair start being whipped by a wind that shouldn't exist.
Oh.
Then a single drop of rain flies from the screen, hits her in the face. Thunder rumbles, lightning cracks, and the doorway to the store opens, and in it stands Her boyfriend, Teddy.
Ah, Damo, you tease.
So I've also made Brie English just because I'm like, these movies always have Americans and it kind of annoys me. Like, you've got Defenders of the Earth, so I've just chosen English, partially so I can try to do the accent as well.
How old is she? Is she like 16?
So bordering 30.
Oh,
she's
30,
older.
Sorry,
cool.
All right, so I'm coming up blank. This is really awkward.
I thought you were the casting guy, mate.
Yeah, me too. Well, I've got people in my head, but I can't remember the names. I'm thinking a character from Downton Abbey, maybe.
Okay, sure.
One of the daughters from Downton Abbey.
Yeah, the older daughter.
Yeah. Mm.
That one. No, I think we can do better.
I haven't seen a single episode of The Outdag. I have no idea what you're talking about. Ideally, I would like a young Thady Newton.
Oh yeah,
in my mind.
Yeah.
But if we can't turn back time,
get Zoe Saldana with an English accent.
Is she too old?
Oh,
I'm like 28.
Zoe Kravitz, give her an English accent. She's American though. Zoe Kravitz.
Well, I was thinking, you know the girl from Misfits,
Cassie.
No.
The one
Alicia. Alicia.
The one when you touch her, you were excited.
Yeah, Gabriel. No, great. Horned up. Yeah, Antonia Thomas is her name. Cool. Yeah, that's who I sort of was picturing as I was writing this out. So yeah, her boyfriend Teddy's come in. He's like, she goes, oh, you scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, boy, Damayan.
And Teddy comes in. He's like, oh, sorry, Brie. Although, to be fair, everything scares the shit of you. Hey, what's wrong with Mortal Kombat? She sort of looks at the now blank screen, and the only thing looking back from it is her reflection. She's like, oh, I don't know. It's on the fritz. He's like, oh, man, that's the only reason I came by today. I wanted to beat the high score. And then she's like, oh, as if you'd ever beat my high score. Because that's the thing. She loves Mortal Kombat. She's played this game a lot.
I'm so excited. I know what's coming and I just cannot wait.
And then she's like, oh, what do you mean? That's the only reason you came by today. What about me, your girlfriend? He's like, oh, yeah, no, it's good. So that just goes without saying. She's like, oh, well, good. He's like, well, I might be off then. What? Yeah, I'll see you yours tonight though then, yeah? She's like, oh, fine. Then he sort of moves forward and it looks like he's going to give her maybe a bit of a kiss on the cheek and she sort of leans into it. Because he's actually reaching just to take some money from her purse. And then she sort of goes to protest, but he's out the door. Basically, he's a dick.
Yeah, we all get that?
Yeah, okay, we get that.
Yeah, nice.
Well, I thought he was lovely.
He would, Sean.
So she looks across at the broken game and then continues sweeping. Later that night, we see Brie home at a small sort of shitty apartment. All of the walls are posters like martial artists, kung fu movies. It's clearly her passion. But it's also all she's kind of got. She slumps down on the couch and just looks kind of fed up. She's like, shitty job, shitty house, shitty boyfriend, you know. Her phone beeps. It's a message from Teddy. Yeah, he won't be coming around tonight. She sighs, turns on the TV and starts playing Mortal Kombat. Next day, back at work. We see sort of a quick time lapse of Bree's day. She's reading books, playing on her phone, trying to get the game to work. It's still broken, adjusts the photo frame on the wall. Maybe has like a little cheeky dance to herself. So we kind of get to know her, kind of like her a bit. And we see just how shit the business is. Then Angelo comes in. Brie sort of tells him about how they've had no customers, but she has some really great ideas for how to turn the place around. But then he just dismisses her and sort of is like, no, it's all your fault. You're not selling enough. You know, someone comes in for a book, you make them leave with a pizza. You've got to do that. Don't let them leave without one.
Oh, what an amazing business model.
And she's like, I can't just force people. He's like, no, do that. Come on, it's just on you. He's like, you won't get paid until you start selling better. So he leaves and soon enough a customer comes in looking to buy a book and so Brie starts hassling him to buy a pizza, all but shoving a slice in his face. And of course, they sort of end up running off scared. She's defeated. She's clearly just like, I can't be doing this. And then she sees another guy amongst the bookshelf. She's like, oh, it must have been a customer, but how did he sort of get in without me noticing? He's this tall, white, blonde-haired guy wearing a robe. And, oh, he's right. I mean, he's right.
Yes!
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. I'm like, there's no point faking this out. And so she sees him take this book off the shelf and just slip it in his robe.
Yep.
She's like, oh, you can't do that. And then so she sort of starts storming down ready to confront him and he turns and sort of disappears behind another bookshelf. So she sort of starts to jog to catch up with him and the shelves are flying by her like shelf, shelf, shelf. So many shelves. Too many shelves. The store doesn't have this many shelves. It's not that big of a store. She sort of starts to slow down, but then she sees him again, and she even thinks she recognizes him. She's like, Raiden? Like, that can't be right. Then he keeps going, so she keeps running after him, and it's shelf, 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 bamboo. She sort of stops and looks, did I just see a stick of bamboo? Doesn't matter, keep going. Shelf, bamboo, 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 bamboo. Finally, she stops, exhausted, and everywhere around her is bamboo. The store is nowhere to be seen, neither is Raiden. She's clearly stuck in the middle of this bamboo forest. Off to the side, she sees a movement, a flash of black. She turns, but there's no one out there. Hello? She calls out. From a distance, a low, gravelly voice responds. get over here.
Yes!
A snake-like projection comes flying through the bamboo straight towards her face. Bree screams and throws herself to the ground, just avoiding the spearhead. It whips back into the trees, and from her spot on the ground, Bree looks up to see a ninja-clad man in black and yellow enter. He's got dead eyes, a mask covering the bottom half of his face. He is Scorpion.
Yep.
She's like, holy fuck, it's Scorpion. So she sort of stands up, and then he just runs at her and then just punches her straight in the face. She goes down. She sort of looks up, and she's dazed and scared and sees this boot coming at him. He hits her in the stomach. All the wind rushes out of her. He kicks her again in the side. She rolls over. She throws up. She starts begging for mercy but is getting none. Scorpion backs off for a beat, allows her to stand. She does, and as any sane person would, just starts running. She's not going to fight him. She's not a fighter, so she just goes for the trees. Again, he cries out, get over here, shooting the spear at her. This time it hits her in the shoulder, sticking, hitting in deep, and he starts dragging her back towards him. She's screaming, scrabbling at the ground, but there's nothing she can do. She comes to Scorpion's feet, and he tears the spearhead from her shoulder and pulls a spiked mace from his belt. He raises it above his head, ready to strike, and Bree's last defense is just to scream no. When bam, this staff comes flying into shot and cracks Scorpion against the side of the head. The mace comes out of his grip and falls right beside Bree's head, just missing it. Raiden jumps over and brings his staff down to hit Scorpion again. He turns around to Bree and yells, finish him! Indicating towards the fallen mace. Bree just does nothing but stare in shock as tears run down her face. Raiden gives a growl, picks up the mace, swings it and brings it crashing down onto Scorpion's head with a horrifying squelch. Bree's just in full trauma mode, just a ball of fear. Like, this has been 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Raiden looks at
her. Reacting like Johnny Cage should have.
Right, yeah. Raiden just looks at her. He's like, that was pathetic. And then she passes out.
I'm thinking for Raiden,
yeah.
Like Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking I had Hugo Weaving.
Oh,
I like that.
I like that too.
Okay.
I like him playing not a bad guy too. Because it'd be very easy to make him.
Jeff Bridges did that Sorcerer's, what's that Sorcerer movie that he was in?
Yeah.
And he's in that stage of his career where he's very old and mumbly.
Yeah.
So he, yeah.
Let's give Hugo Weaving a crack.
He can pronunciate like, a bit
Hugo
better.
Weaving was so good in Hacksaw Ridge.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh, he should have been. Watch it, guys. Mm. He should have been nominated for like supporting actor or something.
I just. Look, based on his ability to play 10,000 Agent Smiths, I'd vote him as yes.
Yeah. He's lovely.
He's got the gravitas of Elrond.
Yeah.
And the growl of Megatron. I think Hugo Weaving's that Megatron.
We can fit him in anywhere.
Let's proceed with Hugo.
All right. So Bree wakes up a short distance away in a crumbling temple. Raiden sort of dragged her there. In the distance, we see this spreading landscape, which is rough and mountainous. Raiden just sits nearby eating like the handful of sunflower seeds or something like that. Bree sort of groggily stands and she's just covered in cuts and bruises. This isn't the movie we saw. This is like people actually get hurt. There are repercussions to this. She sort of limps over to Raiden. She's like, oh, can I have some of those sunflower seeds? I don't think I've eaten for hours. And he's just like, definitely not. He says, still eating them. Not until you've earned them. She's had enough. She's like, are you kidding me? I have no idea where I am, how I got here. Not to mention I just got the crap beaten out of me and you seriously won't give me some fucking sunflower seeds? He's like, I seriously won't. And to answer your unasked question, you're in Edenia, which is not Earth, by the way. You should know that straight up. Different realm entirely. And you got here through the use of magic. That should be obvious too. And you got the crap beaten out of you because you're a terrible fighter. She's just like in shock. She's like, have I gone crazy? I can't have gone crazy. I'm in too much pain to be gone crazy. What the fuck are you talking about? Raiden sighs.
I'm loving this voice.
Raiden sighs and he's clearly not loving having to be the teacher.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want him to be. I want him to you always have these sort of stories where you've got this mentor figure and they they help out and whatever. Maybe they're a bit tough. I want him to genuinely hate it. Like he's sort of doing it reluctantly because he kind of has to help save Earth or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and he's basically a dick to her.
Yep.
All right. So have that throughout.
I can be like, we'll make Hugo Weaving a hero. Not a good guy.
Well, like.
But the hero.
A good bad guy, I guess. So anyway, so she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, have you heard of Mortal Kombat? She's like, the arcade game? Yeah, of course I have. I'm a pro at it. Arcade? No, it's not an arcade game. She's just like, well, it definitely is. And he's like, it's more than that. Mortal Kombat is a fighting tournament set up by the Elder Gods between 18 realms. If one side beats the other 10 times consecutively, then they get the right to enter the other realms and most likely conquer them. There's a beat. And she's like, that's exactly the plot of the game. It's like, forget about the game. And she's like, but I don't understand why it would exist. And he sort of goes on to explain, look, the game was designed to find the next great fighter from Earth, the one that would be able to save it. That's you. It's like, what? You must be joking. I don't know how to fight. Not in the real world anyway. I mean, I got green belt when I was 10, but that's about it. He's like, well, you just have to learn. We still have some way to travel before the tournament. I guess I'll have to train you. She's like, I don't want to be trained. I don't want to fight. I just want to go home. He goes, okay, well, then the Earth will lose and your planet will be destroyed and Shao Kahn, the ruler of Outworld, is one victory away from winning Mortal Kombat. So when he does that, he'll do to Earth what Scorpion just did to you. So then it all sort of starts to hit home. She's like, so you're saying the only thing between Earth becoming conquered and he says, and enslaved, conquered and enslaved is me winning a martial arts tournament. For real, you and a few others, but yes. She's like, you sure I can't use a controller? No. Oh, fuck me.
That's your Red Band trailer.
Yeah, that's your Red Band trailer.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, just some setting up and all the rest. So then we see them traversing across a pretty awesome landscape. It's sort of like, I think of like medieval Asia. Lots of varied wilderness, rundown temples, some populated cities. And then across all of this, we see Raiden and Bree fighting. They're training. But cool. It's sort of like we're watching just the one fight and the backdrop keeps sort of just changing behind them.
Similar to the video game.
Yes, exactly, yeah. And we saw she's getting a bit more lean and a bit more rough, and it's sort of, but it's very gradual and all across the one sequence. At the start, she's just shit, like flat out shit. And Raiden is brutal in his training, not holding back at all. She's constantly getting pummeled. Like his staff cracks against her leg, an elbow plows into her back, his fist smashes into her face, throwing blood across the screen. Every time she goes down, he pulls her back up and the fighting resumes. So we sort of see it get slightly better throughout all this. Like I see it as like they're literally traveling for like a year or something.
Okay, cool.
Like a good amount, like enough time you think, okay, maybe she can get, you know, she hasn't learned it in a month and all of a sudden she's taken on these champions, you know.
Yeah, I hate when movies do that.
Yeah.
Like someone trains for 3 days and it's like, yeah, you're ready for the big fight.
Exactly, yeah. That's
what are you talking about? That's how big fights are won, Sean.
Yeah.
3 days of training.
Yeah.
Less than. The thing I like about what you've done is that you've built into the story that the premise is just like ridiculous. That thing standing between the end of the world is me winning a martial arts tournament.
Yes.
It's very self-aware and it's good.
Well, like literally like they have to win 10 and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you can invade them now on your way. No, well, you earned it. Good for you, young man. You know, like it's ridiculous.
But the beauty of what you've done is like you brought this character in who is not, you know, a character from the game.
Yeah.
And so immediately she's like, that's just fucking crazy.
Right.
And it works. It's cool.
Yes. Cool. So they're having this sequence, they're fighting, and we see Bree get one shot in. She sort of hits him on the chin, his head goes back a bit. She sort of stops freezing like, oh my God, I actually hit him. And then she sort of starts celebrating and squealing and cheering up and down, and then he just cracks her across the head with the staff, knocks her to the ground, end of sequence. Cut two, they're sitting around like on a mountaintop. It's dusk and they're eating. She's like, oh, so you think I'm ready to win this thing yet? He's like, well, you're not exactly ready to take on Goro yet, but you might not die within the first 10 minutes. I suppose that's something. She's like, oh, when does this tournament start anyway? He's like, soon. Seriously, soon is all you can say? I'm getting pretty sick of all your mystery shaman shit, you know? And then Raiden hears this sort of boom in the background and Bree misses it because she's just way too caught up in a rant. She's like, that's bad enough. You're forcing me to compete against my will, kicking the shit out of me every day, but you can't even give me a straight answer. Seriously, when does it start? A year? A month? A day? And then he just looks at her. Now. She's like, what? Then from behind them, this demon creature comes screeching out of the night. It's long and pale with a mouth full of row upon row of spiky teeth. This is Baraka.
Yeah,
yeah, boy.
Shawnee's happy. Woo.
Hell yeah.
Its feet crashes into Bree's back, knocks her to the ground, and then he just sort of leaps off her, spinning in midair, landing to face her, ready to fight. Raiden just sort of does a bit of a cunt move, moves into the background, sort of lets, he'll deal with this.
Every good mentor.
I love that there's a perfectly capable fighter there. He's like, nope. Gotta be you. I'm too good.
Yeah. Bree picks herself off the ground. We hear this word sort of come from nowhere. Fight.
Yeah.
And she sort of raises her fist. This time she's ready. It's not like with Scorpion. She's had a year of training. She's actually, you know, somewhat prepared for this. And the fight's on. Bree ducks. She weaves. She takes a few hits. She gives a few hits. For the most part, she's holding her own. But then Baraka gets a solid hit on Bree and drops her to the ground. Baraka approaches sensing victory. She leaps up and gives him this almighty uppercut that causes dozens of his long pointy teeth to shatter. He sort of backs off a bit, spits some of the broken, shattered teeth out.
She's not happy with this fight.
You're not going to like it.
It's a load of shit right here.
And his eyes sort of grow even more feral. Then two long blades pull forward out of his arms, Wolverine style.
Fuck yeah.
And she's just like, oh, shit. He comes flying at her, blades waving. She's desperately trying to defend herself, but every time she blocks a blade, she ends up getting cut on her arms. In the end, blood is just sort of going everywhere. He backs off again, and this time he sort of scrapes his two blades together, and this spark comes flying off of her and hits her in the chest. She goes crashing to the ground, and he moves forward, and he gets his two blades and just stabs her straight into the guts.
Shit. Damo, have we bet on the wrong horse? Are you pulling a psycho on us?
Mate, I was always betting on Baraka. So
well, yeah, you're a piece of shit.
This is turning out beautifully.
Team Stannis, Team Baraka. It's all part of the same thing.
You're a monster. You're a greater monster than Baraka.
It's a compliment.
He pulls them out of her and she's just bleeding everywhere. Still, she manages to ride. But as she does so, she reaches out and picks up Raiden's staff from the ground. Baraka charges again, thinking victory is pretty sure, and she thrusts the staff into his head, then flips him over, causing his head to be ripped from his body.
Oh, finish him. Fatality. Not a flawless victory, though.
No, definitely not. Bree's sort of panting, still just bleeding freely. Raiden approaches her, and he's like, "Why'd you let him stab you?" And she just sort of ignores this, and she just goes, "I want my own staff." So with her being injured, I'm like kind of don't really go back on that. I sort of see it as they can take a fair beating before they actually die. Because like obviously in the game, you see people get ripped to pieces in like round two and you're ready to go again.
So it's
again.
A bit of a heightened world.
Yeah. Where you can kind
take a bit of punishment.
Raiden can explain that at some point as he's healing up her wounds. Yeah. He's like, how am I not dead? He's like, this world works a little differently than the one you
He's like, that's basically a scratch here sort of a thing. Yeah.
It ain't over till your head's not on your shoulders. And then even then, it's not a guarantee.
Exactly. So basically the way I see it, the tournament's already started. There's not like hard and fast rules for who you'll fight and when you'll fight. The way I kind of see it, I don't even know if this is in the game, but basically anyone can sort of just take on anyone at any time. Yep. Once the tournament starts, if you're in it, be prepared to fight at any time.
It's like Mortal Kombat meets Hunger Games.
Exactly right. Yep. Yes. So we cut to, they're walking through this market with a bigger city. And Bree's sort of asking about past Mortal Kombat tournaments. We get a bit of a backstory here.
So yep.
A bit of a learn about Shang Tsung and all that sort of stuff and how, he's almost ready to take over Earth. Then Raiden tells Bree he has to go find someone and they go off in their separate ways. And she goes off looking for a staff. She sort of walks around some stalls. There's plenty of weaponry, but nothing that really grabs her. Then all of a sudden she gets grabbed, literally, by some mysterious dude who drags her down this alleyway into this back section of the market. She's kicking and fighting, but the guy's too strong. He throws her into this chair and tells her to sit still if she doesn't want to get killed. She complies. He says he wants something from her. He's sort of getting up in his face, like real creepy in her ear, like, I want something from you. She's like, well, what do you want? He's like, your business. And then he opens this sort of big screen with all these weapons. And it's just black. This is like black market weaponry stuff. She's like, well, you didn't have to kidnap me for that. And he goes, sort of looks at her. He's like, oh, you must be new here. This is sort of how it's done. So she sort of rolls her eyes and stands to inspect the weapons. There's like all types of different weapons, but she's got her eye set on a staff. And then she sees one that sort of just really calls to her. It's almost got like that halo of light around it. She just wants it.
It probably does.
It probably does. Let's say it does. Yeah, it's made for her. It's her weapon, whatever. She pulls it off the rack and the weapons dealer explains it's a bojutsu, the Japanese long staff. But this one is special. Not only is it metal with a pointed end, but it can also transform to supply her with a bunch of razor rangs, which are these kind of like razor sharp boomerangs. Now, I didn't come up with that name. That's from the thing. But fuck me, I wish I had.
What's it? Oh, it's a razor rang.
Well, let's see. It's a razor and it's a boomerang. That's a fucking razor rang, my friend.
I'll be sure that a razor rang is also not a very sharp orangutan.
Oh, well done.
Just throw a monkey.
So she's obviously pretty keen on it, but she tries to play a bit cool. And so the salesman is like, I'll show you how good it is. And he calls up some enemies for her to try it out on. These are Predator from the Predator movies. Alien from the Alien movies and Jason from Friday the 13th movies, because all of these have inexplicably shown up in the games before.
No way.
They have all shown up in the games. You can fight them. It's weird crossover. Yep. So I'm like, I'm having that. I'll put that in there.
Yeah, okay.
So then basically she just like, they're sort of placid. She just uses the weapon in multiple ways. She can throw the boomerang. She can hit him with the stuff and she just slaughters them. It's a bit of a campy scene, but obviously it's a ridiculous franchise.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go with it.
I like you tapping in the absurdity of it. It's good. I'm on board.
Cool. So yeah, she loves it. She's got her staff. She's on her way. She goes out into the crowded marketplace again looking for Raiden. But she's got this staff on her back. She's unused to having it. So she's sort of bumping into a lot of people with it by accident. One of these people is Johnny Cage.
I know who's playing Johnny Cage.
All right.
Chris Pratt.
Oh, yes. That's really good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Because you want that cockiness.
Yep.
Yeah. Good one.
But he also has to be likable.
He has to be likable. Yeah, exactly right. Which I don't even know who played him in the original movie, but.
Someone terrible.
Didn't really find that line, I don't think. Yeah.
No.
So he sort of tells her to watch where she's going. But she's pretty pumped up. She just killed all these guys. She's got a kick-ass new stuff. She's like, well, you watch where you go, and sort of gives him a push for good measure. Johnny sort of gives a cocky laugh and then pulls himself into fighting mode. And we hear the word, fight. Bree hears the cry and immediately pulls the bojutsu from her back. And I have, like, behind them, there's this just busking folk band. Even though we're like in Asia, it's like folk band. Like, and so once the fight starts, they just kick off into a song. And, like, the tempo of the music is in time with these two fighting each other.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Johnny Cage, for people who don't know, is this typical American sort of cocky action hero figure. And he's sort of saying things to her. He's doing Chris Pratt, you know, charm, but annoying. And he's sort of getting under her skin. She's getting really angry, which is making her fight terribly. She comes in flying and he's just like kicking her ass. He's using all his moves, green plasma kick, split punch, finish off with a bit of red shadow uppercut. Why not throw that in there?
He's more of a Channing Tatum.
Than a Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt's too likeable.
I was thinking Chris Evans when Chris Evans is cocky. Like, obviously we know him as Captain America. But
like he's Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim. Because he played cocky long before he played, you know, charming Captain America.
Yeah. Chris Pratt's too likable, mate.
Too likable, yeah.
I don't know if you say Passengers, Sean.
Well, he's just not anything in that.
No.
So, yeah, he's kicking her ass. And he looks sure to win when this other woman, a ninja-clad woman, comes streaming in wielding two steel fans.
Hey.
She gives Johnny a kick to the face, knocking from his feet, and spins around and pulls Bree up off the ground. The two then face Johnny, ready to fight. He gives a cocky smile and has some line about a threesome of some kind. And the Celtic music picks up. The three move towards each other when a crack of lightning hits between them all. Wind gushes, throwing them all to the ground. And Raiden stands with a lightning hit and his eyes are blazing and he looks pissed. And he's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? He raises a breach. She's like, defending myself. It's like, well, why were you fighting your own teammate in the first place? She looks across a cage. He sort of gives her a smile and a wave. It's like, yeah, that's me. She's like, I didn't. And then Raiden sees her stuff. He's like, where did you get that? She goes, I bought it. I told you wanted a staff. He's just like, oh, fuck me. Like, let's go. And so they all sort of, Bree turns around to thank the woman who helped her, but she's already pissed off. They continue towards the capital. Join them. The guy Raiden went to find was Liu Kang. So we've got Liu Kang, Johnny Cage, Raiden, and Bree.
Yep.
And they're on their way towards the capital. So while fighting can take place anywhere, it does sort of centralize around the capital. And on the way, they're sort of walking past this beachfront and they see a fight taking place. So they stop to watch. It's Goro versus Blaze. So Goro, for those of you who don't know, is this four-armed, giant monster-looking freak. He has the kind of face that says, I like to eat people, and pretty much it does for all I know. He's just brutal. He's a real prick. Blaze, on the other hand, is this sort of humanoid-type guy made from, like, lava in the game. Which, yeah, I mean, that's
this
just...
guy made of lava.
That's a thing. Yeah. So the fight begins, and it's obvious from the outset, Goro is not to be fucked with. Blaze is, like, throwing lava at him, teleporting around him, performing uppercuts, and... all of this just doesn't do a thing. Goro's not even defending himself. He's just sort of letting this guy do this to him. Finally, he sort of gets bored and grabs Blaze by the leg, holds him upside down, and then just very slowly and meticulously starts to rip him apart
bit by bit.
Oh. And it's just brutal. And like Blaze is screaming the whole time. It's just fucking horrible. And Bree's face just drops at seeing this. Like it's clear that the reality of what she's up against hits home. And in case it's not, Raiden, charmer that he is, leans over and he's like, one of you will have to fight him. she's just like, oh, fuck me. So after that, they continue and we just see Bree training harder than ever. She's like, I don't want to be Blaze. I don't want to be ripped apart. This is the worst.
Is Goro the Rock?
Oh, yes. Good. I mean, yes. I mean, either that or Rhys Darby. But
yeah. Do you know actually know who Goro is? He's the mountain from
Game of Thrones. So once they reach the capital, they go down to
Rhys Darby.
They go down to the docks and we see this old junk ship, kind of like what we saw in the original movie, come in, and our last human fighter, Sonya Blade, has joined the team. Bree sort of hang around at the back and she sees the woman who helped her sort of walking nearby. So she races over to thank her and the woman sort of accepts her thanks, invites her to come join her for a practice fight sometime. Bree's sort of like, yep, that sounds great, and they go on their way. Then we jump cut to a series of fights. We see the words like Liu Kang versus Smoke fill the screen and the weird mysterious voice that declares everything sort of yells that out. And we see Liu face
that's
off.
That's Rhys Darby.
That's Rhys Darby. Liu Kang versus Smoke. And they're fighting inside this temple scene. Then we have like Sonya Blade versus Kano. And these two are in like a warehouse somewhere. Then Johnny Cage versus Reptile. And they're on a mountaintop. Why not? They're all in sort of different spots, all having different times. And the fighting begins where we see an intercut of all three fights. It's sort of fast, it's flashy, it's impressive as hell. And we see all these characters use their signature moves. Magic's flying, feet and fists are flying. It's just pure action. And amongst all this, we see Brie watching from the sidelines, and she's actually loving it. She's like, this is what I've always loved. Like, I love Mortal Kombat. I love, like, this is amazing. I'm watching my guys fight for real. And she's, like, passionate about it. She's seeing her teammates win. She wants to be part of the team. Then we get to her fight, and it's sort of thrown into the intercut. We get Brie versus Sub-Zero, and they're in maybe, like, a frozen over sub-basement or something like that. Brie looks at the guy. She's like, didn't I already fight you? Because he looks like Scorpion. And then it's on. And all the extra training is paying off, because while she's not dominating, she's definitely holding her own. It's sort of more evenly matched. So this cutscene continues. We see each Earthling throwing like a winning hit that dazes their opponent, Brie included. She's fought against, I haven't gone into specifics here, but yeah. So then we see Lou transform into this spiritual state and enter Smoke's body, possessing it. Then Smoke rips his own head off to reveal Liu Kang's head there before bowing down, and the voice cries, fatality. Sonya performs her kiss of death, which she blows Kang a kiss, which turns into this like big fireball and burns the top half of him away. Fatality. Cage jabs Reptile's belly, causing him to puke out blood, then thrusts his hand through Reptile's head and rips out his brain. Fatality. And so Breeze beats Sub-Zero to the point where he's sort of dazed in that state in the game you have before you can perform Fatality. She sort of looks nervous. She's got Liu, Cage, Sonya, and Raiden off on the sideline sort of yelling at Fatality, you've got to do a Fatality sort of thing. She sort of psychs herself up, and then she pulls out one of the Raze Rangs, throws it, but it spins around Sub-Zero, misses him. And then the voice cries, Babality, which is this thing in the game, right?
Yeah.
So then Sub-Zero urinates on the floor, which accidentally freezes, slips him up, and he hits his head on the ground and starts to cry. Because in the game, you can do babalities where you turn your opponent into a baby and they do something babyish.
Oh, my God.
And that is Sub-Zero's. That is literally Sub-Zero's. He pisses himself, freezes it, falls over and cries.
Oh,
so that's Sub-Zero's fate.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Raiden's not impressed. He comes down on her super hard. Like, he's like, yeah, you won. This is for the fate of the world. You can't. You've got to be better than that. Babality? What the fuck are you doing? You know? So she goes off. And then I want a scene here where Lou sort of calls Raiden out on why he's being such a dick and why he's asked them to sort of be so hard on her as well. And he explains that that's his way of helping her. He needs to be hard. He needs her to be harder for her to reach her true potential. She's got to stop letting people push her around.
This, like, it makes me think of, you know, how Deadpool sort of came out, and it's, I mean, here in Australia, it's rated MA and it's quite violent. And, like, that's what a film like Mortal Kombat needs to be. Because that's the beauty when you play it. It's, like, over the top and there's blood and it's ridiculously violent. And then, like, so when you watch the film, like, the 90s one that we watched, and it's, like, so clearly made for, like, a PG audience, it just doesn't work.
It's clearly made for Macca's Toys.
Yeah.
It's clearly made to sell toys at McDonald's.
Whereas this needs to be, like, an MA or an R-rated type thing where it's just, like, part of the fun is, like, how extreme and ridiculous the violence is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we cut to Brie's sort of training all night long. She's in this sort of smog-shrouded training ground. She's a snap of wood behind her, and then Katana comes flying in through the night, weapons raised. And so Katana is the woman we saw earlier.
Yep.
But Brie actually finds out now. But anyway, it's Katana. Big fight between Brie and Katana. It's awesome. Fists, magic, weapons, it's all happening. It's insane, and they're almost perfectly matched. It seems like more like a dance than a fight. But it's just practice, so they finish mostly unhurt. The two introduce each other.
Of course, because Katana's not on the same team. Yeah, I'm good. I'm switched on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's not Team Edward or Team Jacob. She's Team her own thing.
Exactly right. So basically we get an idea that they're sort of, they're a bit buddies now. They're a bit friendly, you know. She's actually got someone who's sort of treating her nice because everyone else so far has been basically real dickish here.
Yeah.
Anyways, then we cut to fight, and Goro's facing off against the other Earthlings. He's sort of fighting them one-on-one, but we're seeing it all together. So we see him against Lou, we see him against Sonya and against Johnny. Things aren't looking good. Things are looking really bad. In fact, we see Goro perform a fatality on Johnny. He jumps on him, grabs both his arms and legs with his forearms, and just rips them all off at once.
Oh, what the fuck?
Johnny done. Johnny is out. Because it always annoyed me that you have these team in this massive tournament and they all just walk away unscathed. Like, even if they lose a fight, they're fine. I'm like, nah, someone needs to die.
Everyone else dies.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Johnny's the one you need to kill, though.
I don't think it's Chris Pratt then.
Well, he died in Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, but...
Do you know what I was thinking, though? Ryan Reynolds would make a pretty good Johnny Cage.
Yeah, he would.
Jake Gyllenhaal would make an interesting Johnny Cage.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have the arrogant swagger, though.
No, Ryan Reynolds does.
Ryan Reynolds definitely does. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you wouldn't expect him to die, which
And you sort of would hit the heartstrings while he can still make some.
And he can still be an arsehole, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Likewise, we see Sonya lose against Goro. He sort of stabs her with some dragon blades. She doesn't die. But she's out.
Hang on, though. How does she not die?
You can get knocked. You can get a KO.
Yeah. You don't have to die.
Okay, gotcha.
You don't have to get a fatality. You just get a KO.
All right, she gets KO.
She's going like, I don't want to kill everyone, but yeah, Johnny's definitely dead. and Lou likewise loses. I mean, you guys can decide if he's dead or not. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Lou needs to get like injured to a point where he's like broke. His back's broken or something.
Okay.
He can't walk.
That's awesome. No, I genuinely love that.
No, I'll just kill him.
No, because that's
put him out of his misery. Then what's he going to do?
He's now a crippled ninja.
Then what's his point for the future of the franchise? Get rid
he
of
can,
him.
No, no, he becomes the new
like mentor.
Or he can have
he's
like
Professor X.
But don't forget, this is Mortal Kombat world. They can heal more than they should. So even if he's like paralyzed, maybe he can have like okay, so the next movie can be his and he can sort
by
of
by the next fight. Film yeah. he walks again.
He also has the ability to move his soul out of his body and put it in other people's bodies.
There you go. That's quite
all right, cool. Keep him alive then.
But in a wheelchair.
So there's not many fights left. Basically there's Goro, there's Katana, and there's Bree. That's all that's left. So we cut to Bree's training again. Similar scene to before. This time Katana comes in, but then we hear the word fight.
Oh.
And it's on for real. This is a proper fight. And so they're going hard. They're going harder than we saw before. Blood is being raised. You know, it's just, it's immediately on.
Well, not immediately. There is the big omnipotent voice yelling right. out, fight. Also, I can see your butt from up here. Just the voice is just a dick. You look so fat from this angle.
Do they immediately fight, or is there that moment because they've had like a little bit of a bond?
Yeah, they're friendly. Like, no, they're definitely friendly.
And then one of them like throws the first punch. It's like, all right then.
Yeah, I reckon though. As soon as they're friendly. Bree might be a bit wary, but as soon as the word fight comes, Katana would just be bang.
Katana's all business.
So as soon as the word fight comes, Katana starts to fight, I reckon. Yeah. There's no hesitation from her at all.
So it's on. But while they're fighting, Katana starts to talk to her. And basically she's saying, you know, I actually really like you. Basically, why don't you come join Outworld? Just do it. Just join Earth. Like, what has Earth ever done for you? Like, all these guys treat you like dicks, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I can't just do that. But then she does something for Bree that no one has ever done. She starts to build her up. She's like, but you're amazing. You know, you and I could be sisters. You, my like evil emperor dad will give you a job. Like, this could be amazing. You know,
hey, dad's an evil emperor, Sean. Did you not understand?
No, I'm looking at you because I'm like, is this a fucking trap?
I think it might be.
And she's like, well, I can't just let Earth be destroyed. But then Katana does something unthinkable. She's like, well, I will forfeit the match then. Because I'm genuine. I, you know, she's like, this is years in the making. I don't care. She has lived for 2,000 years, so she's like, oh, I can wait another, you know. She's like, I think you're someone special, and I want you on our team. And so she drops her stuff and walks away.
But,
I don't know if you could do that in the game.
Yeah, are you allowed to do that?
No, not the game, no.
When they call fight, it's
on.
Yeah, that's because in game rules, there's no button for forfeit.
No, actually, you can. Oh, fuck me, I should have used this. You can do a friendly fatality. What's it called? There's a word for it.
Frontality?
Frontality. There's literally that option. She's pulling out the frontality. And I've realized I've just left out a major bit where earlier on Bree was meant to compliment Katana on her kick-ass outfit.
Yeah.
She loves all the ninja stuff. She's like, oh my God, your outfit's awesome. So in this moment, she also goes like, look, I've got you this outfit as well. This is green jade, beautiful outfit. I want you to have it. Anyway, so she leaves and we're sort of left unsure what Bree's going to do. She's sort of looking at this outfit, looking at this friend who's helped her, thinking about, you know, Raiden's just been a dick the whole time. We cut to final fight. We see Goro waiting for her to enter and it's like, where is she? Everyone's sort of waiting. Raiden's there going, I don't know where she is, rah, rah, rah. Losing his wheelchair maybe, you know.
Just looking sad.
That's it.
Sonya's there, the ghost of Johnny Cage.
And then she enters wearing the green outfit.
Oh.
And Ren's like, Bree, where have you been? She's like, it's not Bree anymore. It's Jade.
Shit.
And just cuts him off. She looks towards Goro, also eyes him up and down, and she's just confident. So Raiden thought what she needed was to be pushed hard, to be pushed down, and that way she'll fight back. She needed to be lifted up.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden she's hit this new stratosphere of fighting. She sort of looks at Goro and she goes, this will be easy, which is Jade's catchphrase.
Yeah. Well done.
He's just as fast and powerful as he was before, but he's fighting Jade now. He's not fighting Bree, and she's like unstoppable. She's using the staff, the razor ranks. She's got these force fields from nowhere. She's just like, she is everything.
Oh.
And basically starts kicking the shit out of Goro. He does manage to grab her at one stage, however, and we're like, oh, this could be it. This, like, he's got all four arms around her. But then she throws this green cloud of smoke and disappears. By the time it clears, she's not in his arms anymore. He sort of looks around trying to find her, and she's behind him. And she stabs him with the staff in his back and lifts him up with this extreme effort.
Fuck.
And sort of the staff starts to vibrate and blur as she shakes it and shakes it, and his eyes bulge, and then he just dissipates in an explosion of gore. Fatality.
Yes.
So she turns towards Raiden and he's sort of like, yeah, that was pretty good. I guess you did it right. And then she just starts laying into him too. She starts beating him to the ground. She knocks his demi-ass god down.
Demi-ass god.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay,
yeah,
good. She stands over him. She's like, you'll see me again, but I won't be fighting for Earth. I'm going to be fighting for Outworld. And explains that, yeah, Katana has offered her a position as her assassin and she's taking it. Oh. She's got purpose. She's treated her like no one ever has. Basically flips in the bird, walks away. And we've got one last thing. A portal opens in the pizza shop. Angelo's behind the counter. Teddy's playing Mortal Kombat. Bree comes in as Jade, full ninja. Fist fly, staff flies. She hits them both in the face. Freeze frame, Mortal Kombat.
Ah, yeah, now, nah, red hot fucking 10 out of 10.
Two tickets, please.
Yeah. I'm on board. You've made it. You've basically done the only thing you do with this franchise, which is you made it self-referential.
You just got to embrace.
You've got to embrace the absurdity.
Embrace the craziness of it.
That's what I figured. I'm like, and I wanted to have sort of the gameplay in it where we have people playing a game. But like I said, I did want this to be an origin story as well. So I'm like, me introducing a new character, have a character that we know, which is Jade.
Yeah.
But
as soon as the staff came in, I'm like, I reckon.
Good.
Yeah. Right, just because with all the razor rings, the fact that the staff turns into fucking
exactly
spiky boomerang.
Yeah. So all those were, Jade's key moves. So, yeah, I sort of wanted to have an origin story. That's clearly not the actual origin story of her. I think she's from one of the other worlds.
Yeah.
But, just wanted her to be kick ass.
That's good.
Mission accomplished.
I like the fact that it's not about saving Earth. It's about saving herself.
Yeah,
it's kind of a nice
exactly. And so I was going to have it. I was going to be, she finally gets knocked down to the point where she builds up. I'm like, nah, fuck that. Why should someone be knocked down to the point?
Yeah.
Why getting beaten down a good thing? Like, that's what these movies often show.
Yeah, I like it. We're like, oh, well, Castiel Weaving is a good guy. He's not. He's not even at all.
He genuinely thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But you really dogged us there, mate.
I really dogged you there. I purposely said that. And then,
I kept waiting for him to have like some redemptive thing. We're like, oh,
I knew
this
that was
going to
break for a Sean Carney speech. Yeah. And it didn't happen.
Yeah. And I even on the drive over here, I'm like, Sean's going to be so upset. Like, this is his key. This is what he loves.
Yeah.
He likes the shit father figure that turns out good.
Exactly. Just, it.
But I took it away from you, mate. He's just shit.
That, the father figure could have been Baraka, but you just didn't want to do enough with him.
Baraka is like a monster.
Baraka's a monster with sword hands. Yeah. He can't hug anyone.
Like, what's his origin, though?
How shit of a dad do you want?
Well, I mean, it is Sean Carney, so pretty good.
He's a fan of the Stannis Baratheon method of burning
your
children.
You're like, Bruce from Jaws was all right. He could have been a great dad.
That Velociraptor from Jurassic Park, he would have loved me.
He wouldn't have shown the love, but it would have been
Jared
there.
Jared Leto, he'd be a great dad. Well, look, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Well done, Damo. You've made me want to see a superhero, a video game film.
Yeah. Awesome. Tom does hate video games.
I do.
Video game movies.
I love a good video game.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm a Pokemon boy from way back, son.
No, but it's good. The characters were good. You made me care.
Good.
I didn't think I'd care about a video game movie.
And then, so now she is where she is in the game. She's the assassin for Outworld. And, hopefully she goes on kick-ass in Mortal Kombat 2. Who knows? Who knows, guys? Anything can happen.
To Mortal 2 Kombat.
Yeah. My Kitchen Rules, Mortal Kombat universe.
Lovely.
On that note, I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Handsome Tom.
And if you have any thoughts or ideas or opinions on Mortal Kombat, you can give us an email at sampantsradio@gmail.com. Or hit us up on Twitter at Samspant Radio. Or you can find us on our individual tweets. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Psychic of Dowie.
And I'm at Awkward Trade. And we've also got the new Movie Maintenance.
Or the very special
Twitter account, which is at MM Sanspants.
Yes, so please hit us up there. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Fatality.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at SansPantsPlus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's SansPantsPlus.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.